Over the past couple of months, there have been some protests and a lot of news associated with removing statues to Confederate generals from the Civil War. And it's made me think about some important questions. And one of the important questions it's made me think a lot about is the question of when does atrocity become history? Because I think we can agree that that fighting to preserve slavery, you know, let's leave aside all the states' rights stuff, fighting to preserve slavery is a bad thing. And so a case can be made to remove the statues. And that I think is very an interesting discussion. And at the same time, I haven't seen discussion, for example, of removing statues to Julius Caesar, even though he conquered France. And so the question that came up for me is, when does atrocity become history? And when does something become a historical artifact that you're looking at, as opposed to a glorification of a horrible history? Or, you know, we can talk about Columbus Day. There is still Columbus Day, and there are still statues to Columbus who was responsible for atrocities that were atrocious. And there are interesting things to be thought about for this. I think one of them has to do with time and how fully someone has become metabolized into the system. This is one reason that I think that people are not burning about Julius Caesar at this point, is that this was long enough ago that the victors of those particular slaughters, no, the losers of those particular battles and slaughters have been metabolized into the system, assimilated into the system enough that they no longer identify with the Gauls or the Picts, the indigenous peoples who fought against the conquest of Gaul and other places. And so I think that's part of it, but I think that there's something that lies underneath it, which is, I think, needs to be said, but is so obvious that it's embarrassing that it needs to be said, which is that I think whether something is an atrocity or whether it is history is primarily determined by the cliche that the winners write the history. And so one of the differences between, you know, Donald Trump recently very famously said that, of course, George Washington owned slaves and Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. And so if you're going to take out Robert E. Lee, then you need to take out Thomas Jefferson and George Washington too. And of course, he was attempting to show how absurd it is to remove Robert E. Lee, but I actually agree with him in this case that, sure, I think that they could take out Thomas Jefferson statues and George Washington statues too. But the difference is that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson won. And I was just the other day talking with someone who was talking about how, yes, American empire may be bad, but it's not as bad as many other empires. And that, for example, if someone's going to work in a sweatshop, it would be better to be working in an American-run sweatshop than a Chinese-run sweatshop. And I'm not going to get into a discussion right now of which horror and which form of slavery is worse. That's not what's important. The important thing is, at one point, when he was talking about things that the American empire has brought to the world, he said that when you won a war, you would put the losers up against the wall and shoot them. And one of the things that the United States has done with its hegemony in the 20th century is to create, like the Nuremberg trials, where you actually have the rule of law, he said, to not just put them against the wall, but you try them for the crimes they committed. And that is a good and interesting point, I think. But one thing that was disturbing me about it was that at the Nuremberg trials, what Hermann Göring wanted to base his defense on, and we're not talking about the mass murders here with Hermann Göring, I don't believe was on trial for the atrocities against having to do with the concentration camps. He might've been, but that's not what I'm getting at right here. That one of the charges at Nuremberg for which military people were executed was waging illegal and offensive war. Offensive not being offensive like this offends me, but instead waging a war that where you go on the offensive. And what Göring wanted to use for his defense was that if they put him on trial, they could just as easily put Churchill, Stalin, Roosevelt, every other world leader on trial for that same crime. And the Nuremberg Tribunal disallowed that defense, which lets me know that underneath this trial, for all the good parts of the Nuremberg Tribunal, it still was basically to the victor go the spoils, because the victor gets to determine. I mean, I would have no problem putting American leaders on trial for waging illegal and offensive wars too. So for me, I'm not trying to make this so all atrocities are the same, but instead what I find really horrifying is that, and I find this goes back to what we've spoken of before with virtue signaling, that it can be great to declare Robert E. Lee to be the ultimate evil and to remove the statues. And yes, chattel slavery is atrocious. I am not suggesting anything otherwise, but I find it extraordinary that we worry about removing statues when there are entire buildings devoted to Monsanto, and there are entire buildings devoted to systematically dewatering every major river in the world, when we're talking about removing a statue to Robert E. Lee, which is a fine thing, at the same time that the largest dam in Africa is being erected on the Nile River. And that is a monument to this culture's murdering of the planet. Again, I'm not saying anything wrong with removing those statues. I'm saying that Robert E. Lee's side lost, and right now Monsanto's side is winning, and the World Bank side is winning, and the forces that are actually murdering the planet are winning. So I think often about Mount Rushmore and putting that on that occupied territory. And so in this whole discussion of removing, it is safe to talk about and fight about removing Confederate statues because that war was 150 years ago. That's the only reason we can even have that discussion. When I don't see a discussion at all about removing the faces from Mount Rushmore, faces carved into a living mountain on occupied territory. So I don't mean to be one of those people. I hate it when I see this, where whenever there is an outpouring of grief over the killing of Cecil the Lion or the killing of that gorilla at that zoo in the Midwest, there's always the spoil sport who says, gosh, you're worried about a lion when there are children starving around the world and when women are being beaten. And that always disturbs me because attention to atrocities is not a pie, where if I pay attention to the slaughter of non-humans, it means I'm not paying attention to the slaughter of women, because I am attending to both. And I know many other people are attending to both. And in many cases, they spring from the same patriarchal violation imperative. And I think it's really important to discuss all of them. So I don't mean to say, gosh, we shouldn't take out monuments to Confederates because we aren't taking the other ones out. I don't mean to say that. What I mean to say is that I would love to see us use a discussion of when and where to remove statues to some people who supported atrocious causes. I would love to see that discussion launch into a larger discussion of how we stop ongoing atrocities and what we do about the monuments currently in place that are currently, I mean, what is Hoover Dam? What is the Grand Coulee Dam? Those are monuments to a worldview. Those are cathedrals to a worldview that is killing the planet currently. And so I would love to see this step up from two things. One is to step up from a discussion of certain past atrocities to a discussion of why do we find it acceptable to have a statue of Julius Caesar, who was, in my mind, at least as bad as Robert E. Lee or Jefferson Davis, P.T.T. Beauregard. So one is that discussion I would love to see had. And another discussion is, how do we move from statues, which are primarily symbolic, which is symbolism is important itself, but also to structures which are tangible. It's like, it is important to take the swastika off of the, to blow up the swastika on the Reichstag at the end of World War II. But in addition, it was really important to destroy their capacity to fight in the first place so you could get to the point where you can destroy the symbolic structures. So those are discussions I would like to see this morph into.